Choir, thank you. So
the doctrines that are found in our course, the judgment seat of Christ, there, of course, Romans 14, that they Romans 12 that lays that out as well. And but boy, there's a lot in here. Of course, the substitutionary atonement, reconciliation, all that is hidden in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But there's one verse that you hear me quote off, and that's where we're going to start at, and we're going to end up back over there in 1 John, because I believe 1 John is the assurance book of the Bible. It certainly lays out a lot of things in there. Man, woman can know without a Bible. I'm glad salvation is not one of these hope so deals or maybe or might. No, you can know. And the Bible gives us enough info, and that's part of my responsibility is to lay that out. So I'm going to try my best with the help of the Lord. I'd label this the birthmarks of a believer, because just as a new, and we've had a lot of new additions here lately. I didn't mention a moment ago, again, Jackson Carter Hutchins was just entered into the world here on Friday, March the 1st, and so 8 pounds and 5 ounces, 22 inches long. He's a long little fella, and he'll be in here soon enough. But, you know, all the babies that come along, they have birthmarks. So my birthmark, it seemed like it sort of faded over time, but I got one over here on my side. But now you can't tell the difference between a birthmark and shingle scars, yeah. And because that's where it hit. And my scars from my shingles have sort of overspread my birthmark. But it was over here on my right side. And I guess everybody's got one. Some got them different places, different things. Some are more noticeable than others. But babies, once they're born at physical birth, they have that birthmark. But there's birthmarks of a believer. When a person is saved, there's some birthmarks. There's some evidence of the new birth. And we're going to look at some of those things tonight with the help of the Lord. You know, there's great newness when a baby is born. And these little ones that have come along here in the last few weeks and months, I mean, they got new skin, they got the baby smell, you know, like the baby lotion, just the diapers have a distinct smell. Just pull them out of the box, and they got a distinct smell. The baby wipes. Now, we're still sort of partial to that, what was that, shea butter stuff. Yeah, that smelled pretty good. Some of that funky stuff, man, they got all kind of fragrances now. And but, you know, there's just a newness about the babies when they're physically born, but there's a great newness when a person is saved and born from above. And we're going to look at some of those things tonight with the help of the Lord. But notice our text tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You should know it well if you've been in church any length of time. And there's a lot. I just hate pulling out one verse because there's a ton of things I could preach on here out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but time's not going to permit us to labor long because I got enough as it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 said this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, boy, there's a fundamental fact to that. When a person comes to Christ, who was in the beginning was alienated and enemies to God, then they come to Christ and they become a new creature. And there's a part of what we call maturation or maturing. There's a maturing period, just like a baby that's born. You don't just, when the baby comes out of the womb, you don't just sit them over there in the chair and say, "All right, just have at it, go ahead and eat and drink and walk around." No, there's a maturing process that goes along, and you got to be gentle with those little ones. Well, the same holds true for the new believers. When a person is saved, You can't expect them to choke down a bunch of meat of the Word of God. They have to get some help along the way, and you got to be gentle with that crowd. Some of them don't have a clue. There's folks that did not have the privilege that I had growing up in a church. Even before I got saved, I knew how to behave. I knew how to act around the church and different. There's a lot of folks that don't have a clue. They really don't. I mean, there's a lot of folks don't have an understanding about that. Also, you got to have time. You got to have patience with them. And you got to be gentle with them and handle them with velvet gloves. Listen, I'm all for discipline and all that. And we do that from time. We've had to do that in times past. Nobody likes to. But listen, God disciplines us when we step out of line. And we have to do the same thing. But you got to do it with the right spirit. You got to do it with love. And you got to be gentle. But you think about when a person is saved and a person is born again. There's some birthmarks that are laid out. And just by way of introduction, I want to give you just a few of these. And you can jot them down if you want to. But when a person is saved, there's a new birth that takes place. When a person receives Christ, that is a new birth. As Jesus was dealing with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, this is what he said in John 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And old Nicodemus, that threw him a curveball. He said, Man, how in the world can a man be born twice? He's going to crawl back into his mother's womb. He didn't understand. And a lot of people don't understand that concept. What Jesus was talking about, that word born again, literally means being born from above. It takes the new birth for an individual's life to be changed, to be prepared and ready for a place called heaven. And listen, all we do is accept Jesus Christ, and He does the rest, man. A lot of folks said, Well, preacher, I'd get saved, but I can't live it. Hey, you can't live it, but here's the good thing. You'll have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you that's going to help you, that's going to guide you into all truth. And the Bible lets us know, but when it comes to to salvation and the birthmarks of a believer, there's a new birth when a person get saved. Not only is there a new birth, but there's also a new man, the Bible calls it. When a person receives Christ, they're referred to as a new man or a new woman. Listen to what God said in Ephesians 4 and verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We put on that new man at the moment we trust Christ as Savior. Again, He changes us. Our scripture tonight, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, keep in mind, when you get saved, you still have the same wicked flesh before you got saved. You still got it. You still going to have to contend with that. But the Bible talks about mortifying the deeds of the flesh. That word mortify simply means put to death. Paul put it this way. Galatians 2 and verse number 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, every day I crucify my flesh. So that's what you and I must do. But we're to put on that new man. So there's a new, when it comes to salvation, and the birthmarks of a believer, there's a new birth, there's a new man, but listen to this, there's also a new song. God gives us a song, Brother Kevin, that we didn't have prior to getting saved. We were alienated, we were enemies to God. We wasn't thinking about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but God pulls us up out of that old miry clay, sets our feet upon a rock, and then in Psalm 40, verse number 3, the Bible said, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Thank God He gives us a new song at the moment of salvation. Now that's some evidence you got a new birth. You're a new man, you're a new woman, you got a new song. We ain't done. You also get a new nature. Prior to salvation, we had that old Adamic nature. When I say Adamic, I mean what we inherited from our ancestor Adam. That fallen state in Genesis chapter number 3 when mankind fell into sin. That's what you and I inherited the moment that we were conceived in our mother's womb. But listen, at the moment of salvation, listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've been given the divine nature at the moment a person get saved. And when you take on that nature of the divine being of God, listen, understand, there's going to be some birthmarks. There's going to be some evidence along the way. There's going to be some birthmarks. So there's a new birth, there's a new man, new song, new nature. Did you know we also get a new name? Oh, yeah. the person gets saved, we get a new name. How you know? Well, 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to spend a lot of time over here tonight, but I'm going to move like lightning. In verse number 1 of 1 John chapter 3, the Bible said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Now, prior to salvation, we wasn't a son or a daughter of God. We were a son or a daughter of the devil. And we'll show you that here in just a little bit. It just blows my mind, these talk show people that, and you hear bits and pieces of it here and there, they ain't got a clue about theological things and the God of the Bible. They say, oh, everybody's a son of God. Everybody's a daughter of God. That ain't so. You got to be saved to be a son or a daughter of God, and you're given a new name. Prior to that, of course, I'll show you in just a second about what the Bible said. We were a son or a daughter of Satan. The Bible goes on to say, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus had a glorified body. That's what we're going to have one of these days. Why is that? Because we've been given a new name. You see, because of the new birth, we've been given the new birth. There's a new man. We're to put that on. We also know there's a new song that we didn't have prior to. I mean, how in the world could somebody brag on Jesus rescuing them out of the pit of hell and of the chains of sin without experiencing that? God gives us a new song and a new testimony to brag on Jesus once we get saved. Then there's a new nature. We didn't have that divine nature prior to salvation, and we're given a new name. John 1 and verse 12 puts it this way, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name." We were given a name. Now, once a person gets saved, we become a son of God or a daughter of God. And listen, when you think about this, you say, well, who were we identified prior to salvation? I've already shared that. But listen to what God said. We're identified, number one, with the devil. Jesus, he addressed them in John chapter 8 and verse number 44. That's where he called the devil the father of lies. But he goes on to say in John 8 and verse 44, he's talking to that religious crowd. He said, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Prior to salvation, the devil was our father, really. Prior to, alienated from God, enemies to God, we had that old Adamic nature. I mean, all we had to do was be conceived and be born, and we were sinners on our way to hell. But ain't it good to know that God made a way so you and I could get a new birth, we could be a new man, we could have a new song, we could have a new nature and man, we could have a new name. But prior to that, listen, we understand we're identified with the devil. Not only that, we're identified with darkness. Now, boy, this just blow self-esteem out of the water right here. But we're identified with the devil prior to salvation. We're identified with darkness. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, who hath, in reference to Jesus, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I mean, God rescued us from the power of darkness. So prior to salvation, Brother Howard, we're identified with the devil. We're identified with darkness. We were identified with destruction. We were heading down that broad road prior to salvation. Ephesians 2 and verse number 3 said, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Prior to salvation, we couldn't help ourselves. We really couldn't. Because we were the children of wrath. We had that old Adamic nature falling into sin. But boy, ain't it good to know once we get saved, there's some birthmarks, there's some changes. But when a person comes to Christ, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But here's a thought tonight out of 1 John. We'll be over there for just a moment thinking about this premise and this thought. But does the Bible teach about evidence? Is there evidence that you can look at your own life? And listen, this is not for us to point a finger at Brother Harold or Brother John and say, yeah, well, this, that, and the other. No, you can, of course, the Bible said you'll know a man by his fruits. Amen, you sure will. But this is for every individual here. There is some evidences. There's some things that's going to be prevalent, going to be present in an individual's life. Just like I hit on this morning, you might go out and you say, well, man, I'm going to go squirrel hunting. And you go squirrel hunting, you go out in the woods, you say, well, I don't see a squirrel anywhere. Well, you just look around. If there's a nest up in a tree, you might not see the squirrel, but you know he's been there. Look down on the ground. Look at them hickory nuts. Look at them acorns. Look at the walnuts and see if there's been any chewing going on. And you can tell that there's been a squirrel around there somewhere. You might not actually see the squirrel, but you'll see the evidence that one has been there. You say, well, preacher, how the same principle with a snake? Again, I don't like snakes. We'll hit that again. I don't. But you know what? You might not see the snake, but you see the snake skin. You know the snake has been there. There's evidence that is left behind that a snake has been there. Well, for the child of God, there's some evidence there. There's some days you might say, well, man, I just don't even feel saved. But listen, there's some evidence along the way, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've made this statement for years and it's still true. The only thing I know better, Sister Janet, than being saved is having the assurance that I am saved. Having that assurance. And God teaches assurance in the Bible. You don't have to wonder and aimlessly through life and, oh, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Sure you do. If you called on the name of the Lord, if you hadn't, man, the Bible said now's the accepted time. Today is a day of salvation. What is the evidence? Can a man or woman really know that they're saved? Well, I believe they are. There's at least four. There's more, but I'm going to give you four tonight. These evidences, can a man or woman know that she's saved? Did you know once a person gets saved, there's a new allegiance? A new allegiance. Oftentimes, of course, in our day, I never dreamed I'd see that day when people didn't want to respect the flag and pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. But I thank God for that flag, man, for the freedom that we hear. Still gives me cold chills. You go to a ball game or anything, and man, they sing the Star Spangled Banner, and they've got that flag wave. That just gives me cold chills, man. And I know I'm blessed living as an American. We pledge allegiance to the flag. But listen, once we get saved, our allegiances change. They sure do. What kind of allegiance? Well, to obey God's word, what God has told us. Now, keep in mind, you take somebody that's never really been instructed in the Bible, they ain't going to have a clue. But some folks God will deal with. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And they understand they're a sinner. God will prick that heart. They call on the name of the Lord. They're saved. And there's a maturing process. There's a discipleship progress where people had to learn what the Bible says. But there's a hunger that once wasn't there prior to salvation. But now, once a person is saved, there's a new allegiance to the Word of God. This is how God reveals Himself to mankind. It's how He reveals Himself to me, how He reveals Himself to you of what's expected of us. There's a new allegiance to the Bible. Think about this. And this is not simply following the Ten Commandments. For the Bible said this, 1 John chapter 3. Verse number 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. One of the greatest assurances of your salvation is to know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. When you do something wrong, yeah, I mean, the preacher might not always be there. Your mom or your dad may not always be there. Your husband or your wife might not always be there. Your mom or dad might not always be there. But if you say by the grace of God, and you say or you do something, or even think about something, and it's not right, the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you will knock on that door and let you know, man, that's an assurance of your salvation. But there's a new allegiance. 1 John 5 and verse 3 said, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Again, we don't keep His commandments to be saved. We keep those commandments because we are saved. And there's a great difference. He goes on to say, 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. In other words, it's not a burden to do what God expects us to do. Once He releases us from all that, listen, He took us from alienation. He took us from enemies. He reconciled us to God by the death of His Son on the cross, by His death, burial, and resurrection. We receive Him by faith. Man, there ought to be some appreciation. There ought to be some love for God and what He's done for us. And there's a new allegiance that comes along with that new creature. We didn't have a desire to follow God's word until we're saved and we're given that divine nature, and the Holy Spirit lives inside. Listen to this, John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The bottom line is this, the evidence, can a person really know that they're saved? Yeah, there'll be a new allegiance. Has there ever been a new allegiance in your life? How's your allegiance to the Bible? How's your allegiance to God's word? That's something to check up, because that's an evidence. Amen. of salvation. That's one of the birthmarks of a believer, to have that allegiance to God's Word. Are you going to stumble along the way? Sure you are. Are you going to mess up? Absolutely. But you want to try to pattern your life after what God expects of His children, man. He's given us a new birth. He's given us a new name. We took on a new man, a new woman, and here we got a new song, man, and understand we want to please Him. There should be a new allegiance. You say, preacher, I really have no desire for God's Word. Well, you might need to be born again. You might need to be saved, because one of the evidence, you say, preacher, that's hard preaching. No, I'm just telling it to you straight. There's some evidence. There's some allegiances there. Once a person gets saved, a man can know that he's born again, because you got a hunger. Listen, a lot of folks say, well, this is an educational book. It is an educational book. It's a historical book. But friend, this is a spiritual book. Did you know it takes the Holy Spirit inspired this book? And it takes the Holy Spirit to interpret this book. Some of the greatest PhDs in all the world can't figure out the Bible. Why? Because they're lost. But here's the thing. When a person gets saved, man, even at a young age or middle age, maybe you don't have a great education, God will give you some discernment in the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and He guides us into all truth, according to John chapter number 16. And this is a spiritual book. And there ought to be an allegiance. That's the evidence, one of the evidences, where a person, a man or woman, can know that they're saved. So how's your allegiance to God's Word? And you have to answer that yourself. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I'm just simply preaching the Word of God. I have to answer myself. Man, is there an allegiance prior to salvation? Listen, they made us to study the Bible. They made us, and there really wasn't a hunger. There wasn't an allegiance to it. They made us memorize that scripture. I'm glad that they did. And some of that came back to me. But do understand this. The moment I got saved, man, there was a hunger. There was a drive. There was a desire to have an allegiance to God's Word. There'll be some evidence along the way. Not only will there be new allegiance, but there'll also be new affection. Oh, that's another evidence. Not only new allegiance to God's Word, but there'll be a new affection, listen now, for the people of God. Yes, sir. When a person gets saved and gets born again, there will be a new affection that was not there prior to. How do you know that? Well, listen to this, 1 John chapter 2. Get these verses now. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now it talks about there having a new affection for the people of God. Now, if a person says they got hate in their heart toward another believer or whatever, man, it just lets you know there's evidence that you're not saved. Now, you can't interpret that any other way than it's laid out in the Word of God. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. God likens somebody that hates their brother and don't love their brother to a murderer. Now, the preacher didn't say that, but God did. You better take notice of what he said. There's a new affection. Once you get saved, you see God's people different. You even see lost people different, because you want to have a desire to tell them and to pass on the message of salvation to that crowd. But we're focusing on this point. There's a new affection for the people of God, even the house of God. Maybe you didn't have that desire before. You know, prior to me getting right with God, Brother Harold, man, they'd have to knock on the door and say, well, Brian, we missed you. You know, since I got right with the Lord Jesus Christ, there ain't no preacher, ain't no deacon, ain't nobody from the church had to knock on my door and said, man, we sure did miss you in the house of God. What happened, preacher? I tell you, the Lord made a difference in my life. Give me an affection for the things of God and the people of God. Now listen, we're not trying to measure up to people. Don't say, well, I got to measure up to the preacher. No, but you better measure up to the Word of God. This is an evidence. You remember when Amos pulled down that plumb line and they was out of plumb because they didn't measure up to the Word of God? These are evidences of a person being saved or lost. There'll be a new allegiance to God's Word. There'll be a new affection for the people of God. Listen to this. We ain't done on this point. New affection. Listen to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. The Bible said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. there's an affection that is there. It's something that you don't have to teach. We use that illustration like it's as natural as that bird flying through the air, that frog jumping from one lily pad to the next, the fish swimming around in the water. For a child of God, it is natural for us to love one another. Amen. Why? We've been given that divine nature. That's an evidence. That's an assurance. That's the way you can know that you're saved. Listen to this, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Now God tells us that, and people tell on themselves, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And sing that song, and they got hate in their heart toward their brother. You know what God said? God said, you're a liar. I didn't say that. God did. Now listen, how in the world can you love God whom you hadn't seen and you hate your brother whom you have seen? God lays that out. And that picture's pretty clear. But here the evidence is this. Bottom line is folks that are truly saved will have a love for God's people and the things of God. So is there evidence, preacher? Can a man or a woman know that they're truly saved? Absolutely. There'll be a new allegiance. The Word of God said, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. What are those new things? There's new allegiance. There's new affection. Oh, listen. But there'll be a new appetite. A new appetite. Oh, yeah. And, boy, we've had to go through some appetite changes here at the house here recently with Christy with some of that stuff she's been eating. And, my goodness, some of our sugar's still high and ain't even eating it. I mean, eating grass. You know what the doctor said? Now, listen, I got to run this little trail right here. She said, you know what a great snack is? And I was in her She said, a great snack is celery and peanut butter. I mean, come on, son. I mean, I might put a little celery in some soup. I mean, hey, Jason, you want to chew on some of that tonight? Man, I just assume eat cardboard. I mean, really? But you know what? Sometimes you got to adjust. You got to adjust. But sure, there's something better than Sarah. If you love Sarah, then bless your hearts, all I can say. I mean, that's wonderful, but it ain't for me, man. That's why God made us all different. Amen right there. But listen, once a person gets saved, there is a new allegiance, there's a new affection, but there's a new appetite that wasn't there before. Like what, preacher? Well, think about this. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 6, listen to this now. 1 John 3 and verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now verse 9, there's been a lot of controversy over verse 9. There shouldn't be controversy, but listen to what it said. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, the Bible does not teach, once we're saved, Brother Harold, that we have sinless perfection. Man, we stumble every day. Every one of us stumble today. Probably from the time we come into the house of God, probably some unholy thought went through your mind or something transpired today. One of those bicycles got in your way. Or whatever it may be, whatever trips your trigger. Somebody said something to you and you had a bad thought or had a bad desire. Maybe you seen something. You looked at something you shouldn't listen to. You might have listened to something you shouldn't listen to. And listen, the Bible tells us that if a man follows all the law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all of them. Every single one of them. So the Bible does not teach once we get saved there's sinless perfection. But here's what it was teached. I hit on this a little bit this morning and I back that up with what God says right here. I do believe a child of God does get into sin. David was a man after God's own heart. He fell into sin. Others fell into sin. Peter, that preached on the day of Pentecost, he was a saved man when he denied the Lord. David was a saved man when he committed sin with Bathsheba over there in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, a time when he should have been on the battlefield, but he got out of place. And boy, you better stay in your place. You better stay where God wants you to be because he should have been on the battlefield. Here's a time when kings go forth to battle, but the Bible said David tarried still at Jerusalem. That's where he got in trouble because he got out of position and got out of place. You better stay in position. You better stay in place or you'll be just like David did. But understand this, you can fall into sin, but I don't believe you'll stay in sin. Now, you sort of use this illustration with a hog, and I've used this before, or a pig, whatever you want. If you're up north, I say hog. But you take a hog, Now, you can give that hog a bath, Brother Kevin. You can get the sweetest smelling perfume and cologne you want, and you can put it on him, John. You can put a bow, if it's a female pig, you can put a bow in his head, on his head. And you can strut it, you can paint its hoofs if you want to. Put a necklace around its neck. You can tote that thing all around town all you want to. But just as soon as you let that thing out, if you let him out to his own for just a minute, he's going to be in the closest mud hole. He's going to be in a wallowing hole somewhere. Why? Because that's his nature, to wallow in the muck, in the mire. He's a pig. But for the child of God, God gives us a new appetite. We shouldn't have an appetite to be at the hell holes of the world, to be out there wallowing in the muck, in the mire of sin. Can we get into sin? Absolutely. But I don't believe we'll stay in sin. He's got a woodshed that he'll take us to, and with the chastened hand of God, and he disciplines us to prove that he does love us. That crowd that goes out just lives like the devil and does their own thing, and it never bothers them. You better check up and make sure you're saved, because once you get born again, there's a new appetite. You going to stumble? Absolutely, you're going to stumble. I make no mistake about that. But listen, sin doesn't break the relationship, but it does break the fellowship between you and a holy God. If committing sin again doesn't bother you, then you better check up, because there's a problem somewhere along the line. But there's evidence here. Folks that are truly saved will have a hunger for God and detest sin and sinful things. Sometimes the people say, man, you're just too narrow-minded. But we believe the Bible. We've got a new allegiance as Christians. We've got a new allegiance to the Bible. We've got a new affection to love God's people and things of God. We've got a new appetite for the things of God and desire what he has for us. But there's also new assurance. Flip over with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 5, and I'll finish up right here. You think about it, is there birthmarks? Is there evidence? Is there something that you can look at your life and say, you know what, can I check this off? Have I been giving you allegiance to the Word of God? Does that drive me? Do I try to pattern my life after the Bible? There's a new allegiance. Well, there should be a new affection for God's people. It shouldn't be difficult to love. That's something natural. There's people that are hard to deal with. We get that. All of a sudden, everybody is different. There's a verse over there in the Bible that I've shared with you too. It's in the book of Romans as well. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably among all men. As much as lieth in you. But listen, we're to love people with that new affection. Then there should be a new appetite. We shouldn't hunger after the mud holes and the slop holes of the world. We ought to hunger after purity and holiness, the things that God desires for us to have. But there's a new assurance, and that assurance is just absolute confidence. Now listen to what God said. Preacher, you say, well, you still ain't convinced me that a man or a woman can know that they're saved. Well, listen, you better take God's word for what he says here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. There it is. Goes back to the Lord Jesus. You've got to have that personal relationship with Jesus. What is the record that was given? Well, he's got an undefeated record. He's got an unblemished record, man. He went to the cross. He was sinless. But he gave his life. The Bible said he bowed his head, gave up the ghost. No man took his life. He gave it up freely so you and I could be saved. We sing that song, could have sent 10,000 angels. He could have done better now. He could have stepped down off the cross. He was God in the flesh. Yet he took it all. He bore it all. Not some of it. He bore it all. So you and I could have the opportunity. He gives us a free will. We've got a choice. Am I going to go to heaven one day, or am I going to go to hell? The choice is ours. Receive Christ. Believe the record of his Son that he died for. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again, victorious. And now he's at the right hand of the Father. That's why you can talk to him just like I'm talking to you, just like you can communicate with me. I'm glad we've got an open access to the throne room of heaven simply by going through Jesus Christ and believing the record that God gave of his Son. He goes on to say in verse 11, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And notice he didn't say temporal life. No. He didn't say, well, I'll give you eternal life today, but you might lose it tomorrow. No, eternal is eternal. Amen. It's eternal. And he said, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. My question to you is, have you got the Son tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, you should have that assurance, and God can give you that assurance. If you've got Him, I don't care what the devil comes and tells you. If you know Christ as your Savior, thank God it's done. It's eternal. It is finished. What did the Lord say over there in John 19? He said, it is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it is finished. A salvation's plan of redemption was completed. It was finalized. Nothing else had to be done. And when a person calls on the name of the Lord, you've got the Son, friend, you got life. Not just life, physical life. You got eternal life. He goes on to say, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All right? You've never received Christ. You've heard us preach. You've heard us teach. You've heard Sunday schools tell you. Other people may have witnessed to you. But you say, well, just not yet. I'm not ready to get saved. Well, you're on your road to a devil's hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels apart from Jesus Christ. There's no need to water that down. I understand the climate we're living in. So, well, that's not a popular message. People want to feel good about themselves. Well, listen, friend, you better get saved by the grace of God. You can feel good about yourself because God will be living on the inside of you, and you can be fit for heaven through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you don't have the Son, the wrath of God abideth on you. But now listen to this, verse 13. Here it is. Those things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Did you see that? That you may know. That's absolute confidence. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I've had people say, well, preacher, a man really don't know until he stands before God. Oh, yeah, you can too. Don't you wait before you stand before God to where you have that assurance. You better get that assurance settled down here. Oh, preacher, you just can't know. Well, let me ask you this. A lot of folks say if you go out and we go to Illinois, we go to Ohio or something, somebody may look at you and they say, well, you say, well, I'm married. And you say, well, how do you know you're married? Because I've got a token on my finger. As my wife has a token. Boy, that's a good picture too. I've preached on that when I was still marrying folks on the ring, that endless circle. Man, that's like eternity. That gold, man, that's the deity of Christ. There's a message in the ring. But listen, I've got evidence that I'm married by what I wear on my finger. Amen. Well, there's evidence of the child of God that you have been saved. And you can have that assurance. Take God at His word. You don't necessarily have to trust what I say, but you better trust what God says. You say, well, preacher, you got an axe to grind? Yeah, to follow the will of God right here and to follow the word of God. I want every person to have that assurance. If you don't have that assurance, man, get it to understand it Sunday night. But if you're not sure, get it settled. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know what that tells you? Don't matter what state you're in. Preacher, I've done a lot of things wrong. Well, everybody has. Not everybody publishes it, but all of us have. But listen, you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. And it's not just temporal life when you come to Christ. It is eternal life. As Sister Savannah is coming, folks that are truly saved, we ought to know. He gives us the Bible. That's why it's important to read the Scripture, to get that assurance. You can go to John 5:24, great assurances of our salvation. But you see, when a person gets saved, yeah, there's some evidence. Yeah, there's some birthmarks. What are they? The Bible said, our text verse tonight, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There should be some new allegiances to the Word of God. There should be a new affection for the things of God, the house of God, the people of God. Should be a new appetite, not to go to the hell holes of the world, but for holiness and purity, for the things that God honors and expects from us. But there should be a new assurance. And I understand people, a lot of people struggle with assurance. But the Bible said you can know. Man, when I lay my head down at night, Brother Harold, I'd hate to know, man, I sure hope I'm saved. I think I'm saved. Maybe I'm saved. No, you can know. You can know, and there's evidence, just like that squirrel. You may not see the squirrel, but you see the nest. There's birthmarks to the believer, and there'll be some changes once a person gets saved. As we stand all over the house, let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to expound upon the Word tonight. God, I love you. Thank you for the assurance you gave me many, many years ago. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for changing my life. Lord, I was still a big old fat nothing. God, I thank you for saving me. God, using us for your glory. And God, I pray tonight if there's one listening, never been saved, I pray that this Sunday evening, second or third day, whatever it is of March, you'd change lives. God, as only you can. I pray that every person would search their heart. Lord, as the psalmist said in Psalm 139, search me, O God. I pray that you'd search hearts. Some are not prepared for eternity. God, may tonight be the night that they come to that realization that, hey, I want to know. I got to know. I pray that you deal with hearts. We'll be careful to thank you and praise you for what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Even heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You got that assurance tonight? Is there any evidence in your life? I'd ask you this. If you're on trial for being a child of God, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's something to ask. If they ain't, you better check it up. I want to see you in heaven one day. Don't want to see you die lost. Sing a little bit of that, sister. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask Him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6:44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51:17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked Him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.